Continuing with Emanuel Wallerstein. The most likely financial result of the economic turmoil will be the final eviction of the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency, followed not by another currency performing this function, but a multi-currency world that allows for the constant fluctuations of exchange rates, a further inducement to the freezing of the financing of new productive activity. Meanwhile, and simultaneously, the decline of U.S. hegemony became irreparable after the blowback caused by the political-military fiasco of the neocon program of unilateral military machismo undertaken in the period 2001 to 2006 by the administration of President George W. Bush. The outcome has been the reality of a multipolar world in which there are 8 to 10 centers of power sufficiently strong that they can negotiate with other centers with relative autonomy. However, there are now too many centers of power. My interjection, definitions, the importance of our having our own is waving at us here, as well as our opposite vision, warning us that possibly we're seeing the problem of a bully analysis, by which I mean a problem akin to Popper's historicism, which I defined in Beginning Again as story leading reality. That is to say, Wallerstein's categories may be distorting what he sees and disappearing, therefore, what power has conjured itself into being. Because if the point for power is total privatization, if power is global and the state it is making embraces the globe, then the fiasco appearance may disguise a triumph, particularly as if, as power seems to be doing apace, the goal power is sculpting is a global state. Recall that during the October 6th show, we quoted Richard Rosecrans. Quote from Richard Rosecrans, "This, the transatlantic trade and investment partnership between Europe and the United States, creating an economic power with nearly half of the world's gross domestic product, is not a declaration of economic war against the East. Rather, it reflects an awareness that China and others need to be brought into the West, bringing two halves of the world together. A greater American and European combination would amass $32 trillion today and much more tomorrow. A balance of power leads to conflict, but an overbalance attracts others to its economic core. Richard Rosecrans, want world domination? Size matters," from the New York Times of July 28, 2013. A quite open admission of a totalitarian ambition. Then, power views states as vehicles for achieving a larger goal and have no overarching allegiance to any particular state. As the Rosecrans article indicates, power is moving apace to unify the master race, these global state statesmen of the global state. Certainly they have their differences, but their systematic pursuit of aggregated means they are convinced that the weight bias of their relative swollen pockets will decide who gets to settle the question. The supremacy game played by the big boys, and we are just what? What are we willing to accept for our future, for our earth, for our children? Continuing with Emanuel Wallerstein. However, there are now too many centers of power. One consequence is the frequent tentative geopolitical realignments as each of these centers seeks maximum advantage. Fluctuating markets and currencies are thereby reinforced by fluctuating power alliances. The basic reality is unpredictability, not merely in some middle run, but very much in the short run. The socio-psychological consequences of this short-run unpredictability have been confusion, anger, disparagement of those in power, and above all, acute fear. This fear leads to the search for political alternatives of kinds not entertained before. The media referred to this as populism, but it's far more complicated than this slogan term suggests. For some, the fear leads to multiple and irrational scapegoatings. For others, it leads to the willingness to unthink deeply ingrained assumptions about the operations of the modern world system. This can be seen in the United States as the difference between the Tea Party movement and the Occupy Wall Street movement. And my interjection, I have a concern about the way he presents the emerging political responses to this moment we're in. And it's a concern that will come up again in the next section when he says that the contested political field is composed of four groups, i.e. he lists but doesn't weight them, which gives the impression that he thinks each can be weighted equally, with which I most deaf disagree. Moreover, it seems to me this fear he speaks of, where it exists among commoners, at least in the U.S., is both a reflection of power's fear and identification with power. As it knows, power does, this moment for us is full of promise and is a cultivation of power. This is not just springing up naturally. They intentionally try to sow division between us, stimulating fear of immigrants, etc. Continuing with Wallerstein, the main concern of every government in the world, from the United States to China, from France to Russia to Brazil, not to speak of all the weaker governments on the world scene, has become the urgency of averting an uprising of unemployed workers joined by middle strata whose savings and pensions are disappearing. My interjection, all disagreements collapse in the face of this threat. And though it will never be publicly acknowledged, behind scenes they will collude to address it. For example, the single alarm going off in the heads of Russia and the European Union at the nightmare for them of the Ukrainian Revolution. Continuing, one reaction has been that the governments have all become protectionist while vigorously denying this. The reason for this protectionist thrust is that governments are seeking to obtain short-term money however they can and at whatever price they have to pay. Since protectionism is insufficient to overcome unemployment, governments are also becoming more repressive. This combination of austerity, repression, and the search for short-term money makes the global situation even worse. It accounts for an ever tighter gridlock of the system. Gridlock, in turn, will result in ever wilder fluctuations and will consequently make short-term predictions, both economic and political, ever more unreliable. And this, in turn, will aggravate the popular fears and alienation. It is a negative cycle.